John chapter 21. And as you have found that, if you could stand with me for the reading of God's word this evening, we're going to read three verses. John chapter 21, we're going to read verse 15, 16, and 17. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he asked him, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Thank you, and you may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm not one of those preachers who has to take everything he reads back to the original languages of the Bible, Greek and Hebrew. But I'm also not one of those preachers who says we don't need the Greek and Hebrew. I think it can be very helpful at times, and I am certainly not going to claim to have this great wealth of Greek, because I took one semester of Greek in Bible college, so of all the Greek there is to know, I learned about that much, and of that much, I remember that much. So, but there was a few things that did stuck with me as I took the semester of Greek. Just a few valuable lessons as I learned different Greek words and meanings of them. And so I just wanted to share one of those with you tonight, an illustration. It was from these verses here. Greek words for the word love, and most of you have probably heard these before. There's a Greek word, agape, and it's a word for the kind of love that is a commitment. It's a sacrifice. You have this kind of love without, it's giving love without expecting anything in return. And examples of where this word is used in the Bible would be John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It was a sacrificial love when he gave his son. In 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul speaks of charity, and he said, if I have all faith to move mountains, but I don't have charity, I am nothing. And that word charity is translated from the word agape. And so he's saying, if I don't have that same sacrificial love that Christ had for me, I'm nothing. So, but there's another kind of love, and I may or may not pronounce this correctly, but I'm going to call it phileo. You may say it differently than that, phileo, and there's different variations of the word. But that kind of love is a little bit milder. It's more of a brotherly kindness kind of love. It's an affection. It's a friendship. And then there's a few other words, but we're going to use these two. So as we read this passage, John chapter 21, the first mention of love, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And that love, and if you look this up in the Greek New Testament, that love that Jesus is asking Peter, do you have this love? He's asking, do you have agape love for me? Are you willing to sacrifice for me? Are you willing to give yourself wholly to me? Are you wholly committed to me? And when Peter answers him, thou knowest that I love thee, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. What word do you think Peter used in response to the Lord? He said phileo. Jesus is asking him, do you agape love me? He says, well, I phileo love you, and you know that. Jesus asks him the second time, Peter, do you agape love me? Peter says, again, well, I phileo love you. The third time, Jesus asks him, do you love me? Jesus asks Peter, do you phileo love me? And that's when Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And it's translated from phileo. What's interesting is Jesus, he knows what Peter's saying, and so he says, well, do you phileo love me? Let's go there. Let's go to your level in a sense. Or even I don't know if Jesus was saying, well, is that all you love me? Or if Jesus was just saying, okay, well, I know you love me that much, so let me meet you there. And Peter again said the final time, when Jesus asked him, do you even phileo love me? Peter said he was grieved, and he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I phileo love thee. And you would think, our minds, we would think, you'd think Peter learned his lesson right there and would say, oh, now I know what Jesus is looking for. And he would say, I agape love you, because that's what Jesus wants to hear. But the truth be told, Peter couldn't say that because he knew where his heart was. He knew he only had that affectionate kind of love for Christ, just a friendship, not that fully committed sacrifice. So he couldn't say agape love. But Jesus was compassionate. He had mercy upon Peter because Jesus knew Peter, and he knew that kind of agape love would grow, because that kind of love, it can't happen just in a moment. It does have to grow over time, I believe. And Jesus knew Peter would get there, and he told Peter how he would serve him later in the ministry, how he would be killed as a martyr for his sake. And he knew Peter would get there. So I guess the title of the message is your heart in it? Is your heart in it? Are you struggling to walk with the Lord in a daily habitual reading of the Bible, prayer time? Is it something you know you should do, but you struggle to make it a habit? Well, the true question is your heart in it? Are you waiting to know God's will? You know he has something for you, and you want to know what, and you wonder why he's not showing it to you. God's timing is always best. We know that. Is your heart in it? Maybe there might even be things. And I'm speaking to myself as well, obviously. There might even be things God wants to show us. God, his will, he wants to show us things, but we don't even know that he's holding back because he knows our heart's not in it. Our hearts aren't ready to commit to him. Right. And now that which God has given us, those opportunities and ministries and to serve him, is our heart wholly committed to doing it the best that we can and giving God our best? And the point of this whole illustration is God wants your heart. Right. And that's the first point. And I just got a couple more points I'll go through real quick. First point, God wants your heart. Two, we're going to look at how to give of your heart. So if you would turn with me real quick to Proverbs chapter 2, all the way back to Proverbs. How to give of your heart. We're going to look at that real quick. Proverbs chapter 2, it says in the very beginning, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou get this, incline thine ear unto wisdom, fourth step, and apply thine heart to understanding. Let's break this down real quick. First, verse 1, our will has to choose to take the action of receiving God's word and hiding his commandments in us. This is the first step to training the appetite of the heart. That's one thing we have to understand is what our heart is. It's appetite. It is a desire. It's a longing. So the first step is choosing to feed it God's word. And then in the second part, it says, and hide my commandments with thee. Verse 2, I'm sorry. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. Our ear will then have an itching to hear from God. And this is the second step in training the appetite of the heart. You ever, just an illustration to help you understand that, if you remember back to when, I know for me and all of you here probably remember back to when you first met your spouse and you first had that, some people call it chemistry, that interest in your spouse before you were married, and you had a desire to get to know them better, and so you spent a lot of time thinking about them and meditating on that person and the time you spend with them, and it gets to where your mind is inclined. It's ready to hear it. So then as soon as somebody mentions that person's name from across the room or another room, your ear just hears it because it's what you've been thinking about and meditating on. And it's the same way we should treat the Word of God that same way and doing hearing the voice of God the same way to where we have that inclination to it. And that will, and then the end of verse 2, and apply thine heart unto wisdom. Our heart binds it together like glue. It when we put our heart to it, picture, you know, I know there's my in-laws and many others who are into crafting and making decor and things like that. It's very popular right out here. I'm learning. So sometimes the house is full of them. But think of it if you know. So if you know what I'm talking about, a craft you're putting together and you have all the pieces, and if you just set all the boards and flowers and whatever you're doing, you set it all together, but you don't put anything to stick it together, it's going to fall apart. Well, you put the glue on there, it all stays together. Our heart, applying our heart to what we learn, is what helps us to do it in our lives. So we have to learn to not stop feeding the heart. It's again, it's an appetite. So I will desire whatever our will chooses to feed into it. Let me read down through some more verses real quick. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let me jump down to verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. If you have given your heart wholly to God, you will find the wisdom you need and understanding and discretion, and it will keep you from falling prey to the evil ways of the world. So this brings us to third point real quick, the battle for the heart. There is a constant battle for our heart. And if you just look over at Proverbs chapter 4, you may need to flip a page or not. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. These four verses give us instructions on how to use our heart and what we should give our heart to. It's the instruction of the Word of God. Verse 13 and 15, let's look at that, 13 through 15. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her. For she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. These verses tell us to let those instructions consume you. Give yourself to it by addicting your heart to it, because other things are going to try to take your heart. Verses 20 through 23, let's take a look at those. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear, there that is again, unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Continually feed the heart to keep the appetite fed and protect it with all your might. And lastly, the actions of the heart are a matter of the will. We touched on this a little bit. What have you given your heart to? Again, it's a desire. Your heart is an appetite, and it will be having hunger for whatever your will chooses to feed it, whatever you willingly give to your heart. The actions of the heart are a matter of the will. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If your heart is on worldly things, your will has to choose to take it off and set it on the things of God. Colossians 3:1-2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You have to choose to set your heart's appetite on things above by intentionally feeding it spiritually healthy things. Psalm 62:10b, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. The desire and affections of the heart of it are actions of the will, and it will hunger for whatever you feed it. And last verse, 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all.